Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 170. This is the 170th edition here at the Caffeination. Hopefully everybody is enjoying their weekend. Hopefully everybody's had a great week and ready to start another one, ready to attack the next couple dates on the calendar. We're trying some new stuff here at the Caffeination Podcast. We think we got the flow down a little bit better, so hopefully you'll enjoy what we got going down tonight. This is the 7th of October, 2007. You are listening to the Caffeination Podcast, found over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com for those of you who don't feel like spelling it out. If you'd like to send us comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, whatever else you feel like putting in an email and firing off, you can send that to caffeination@gmail.com. You can leave a voicemail over at 215-240-1319. It's a direct-to-voicemail line, just in case you didn't want to talk to anybody. No problems, no worries. And our Skype ID is thecaffeination, all one word. So hopefully, like I said, everybody's having a good weekend. I've succeeded in screwing a couple things up, and hopefully they won't come back to bite me. We had Paul's one-year pictures taken today. We signed up to one of those lovely photo agencies that comes out to the house, and we got the family portrait and everything taken today. It was nice. It was wonderful. It was lovely. However, yesterday, Paul was helping Daddy put a mailbox outside the house, something I accomplished with little to no problems. However, the boy fell, so there was a lovely scrape on his cheek from hitting the concrete. He was fine. He only cried for a minute or two, but I felt horrible because, of course, the day before pictures, there was absolutely nothing wrong with him. The day before pictures, a little scrape, little issue, so hopefully everything will turn out right. The guy said he might be able to buff it out. I mean, I know with Photoshop I could be able to, you know, do pretty much anything, but I don't know about this guy's skills. Yes, he's a professional photographer. He's paid to do all the right shots and have all the right lighting and the equipment and everything, but no word yet on exactly how good his Photoshop skills are. So I'll report back to everybody on how badly I screwed that up. Hopefully it'll blow over. Jim was a little bit upset, but everything's going to be fine. All right, I wonder how everybody out there is actually doing. We're trying a whole bunch of new stuff here. We have great music lined up for you today. On today's show, you're going to find a little bit of news, a little bit of vocab, some vodka, of course, and a pop quiz at the end, possibly, or not. Who knows? We're trying to get everything in order to celebrate our 200th episode in probably about 15 weeks, if you can count that far ahead. See, I make the mistake very often not actually doing the correct planning ahead of time. So we're interested for some ideas for what you might want to see for episode 200. Now, just remember, this is episode 170. So we have 30 episodes, roughly 15 weeks for 2 weeks till we hit that milestone. So just what kind of stuff would you be interested in hearing for the big episode 200? We're trying to find, maybe we do a little giveaways. If you know a corporation that's willing to give me stuff that I can give away to the audience, that would be out standing because of the limited fundage going on around here. Whatever else, you know, anything you'd like to see. If you'd like to have an all music episode, let me know that. If you'd like to have an all news episode with nothing else in the background, please let me know that. Just, you know, let me know. All right, we wanted to put it out there that we do have the audience survey link up over at thecaffeination.com. Please, if you would not mind, please head on over there and fill that out. On the middle column has a lovely little quill there. They're going to ask you some personal questions, and just to gauge who actually listens to this show. I know only the best and the brightest of the internet community actually do tune in, so I'm confident in who you all are. I just don't know if advertisers would be. Currently, we do have one sponsor for today's show. We are going to get to that in about a minute, but We're looking for, I think, maybe one other, and then I think we'll pretty much be done with the sponsorship deals. You know, we try and minimize the amount of irritation that you have to go through, and pretty much everybody who I've talked to, both online or off, said, you know, we wouldn't mind if there were two commercials in the show, just, you know, as long as they're not incredibly invasive or anything. Sunday, 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 nitro burning funny cars, you know, nothing like that. So, all right, we did want to talk to you about the people who are kind enough to sponsor today's show. Do you spend more time traveling? traveling to meetings than you actually do meeting with people? If your time is valuable, and hey, whose isn't, then you can need to visit GoToMeeting. With GoToMeeting, you can instantly meet with absolutely anyone. All you need is your PC and an internet connection. During the meeting, your attendees will see on their computers what you show on yours. It's like you're in the exact same room. Plus, it's totally interactive. You can work together to make changes to a report, add slides to a presentation, or even show someone how to fix their computer. And trust me, that does come in handy. Think of the time you'll save. No more driving or flying to a meeting. Plus, you can hold as many meetings you want for one low flat rate. It's a real money saver when it really comes down to it. Next time you're waiting in line at the airport or you're stuck in traffic heading to a crosstown meeting, you'll wish you could meet online instead. So sign up right now and try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. For this special offer, just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Try it free today. All right, well, we'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast, and hopefully we will continue our wonderful relationship that we have with that with that company. That they've been nothing but kind to us. We do have some fun PodSafe music from actually a band that I've heard of. Not disparaging any of the other PodSafe artists that are out there, but it just so happens that I don't know a lot of their music. Not necessarily because I'm not into the indie scene or anything else like that. So we try and give everybody the recognition they really do deserve. Now, one of the guys I work with actually is a huge fan of this band. It's called Minus the Bear. Now, all the music for today's show is actually provided by Iota PromoNet, so you can head on over there and check that out. The only musical accompaniment for today's show is actually Minus the Bear, The Game Needed Me. So hopefully from their album, Menos el Oso, which I believe is just Minus the Bear in Spanish. So fun little tune. This is for Jack if he ever listens to the show, so hopefully you'll enjoy this. This is Minus the Bear and The Game Needed Me from Iota PromoNet.
Can't buy that movie. What do we get from this soft transaction? We know the money lies, and you can't put a price on this brand of action. We're all just selling. Would you ever miss your desk's caress? There is no mouth to trace its shape on you, but you seem to let it you anyway. We'll be right back.
Again, that was Minus the Bear with The Game Needed Me, so hopefully you enjoyed that. That one's for Jack. Like I said, it's one of his absolute favorite bands, so hopefully we did them justice, and hopefully I didn't screw anything up else that I should have. I mean, kind of playing music should be just nice and easy, but you know, every once in a while you just... I've bunged up names, I've bunged up a whole other things, I've labeled things as the wrong kind of genre before, so hopefully decided not to label it. I like their style, and definitely going to get a little bit more into that. I'm going to have to ask Jack if he has any of their other stuff. If you like that song, you can actually head on over to caffeination.com and click buy it at the iTunes Music Store and get the song direct for only 99 cents, so... Hopefully you enjoy that, or if you'd like to learn a little bit more about the album or anything else like that, there's a little link over there for that. So all your musical needs are taken care of right on that little thing there. So, all right, we have plenty of tech tidbits to get into, a little bit of caffeinated bits bringing up the rear of the show, so I might want to dive right on in. First of all, the word on the street, we're bringing back the vocab, like I said before. Word on the street this week is geek chic. Now, you may not know this, but geek chic is actually a style of dress that was made popular at a lot of the internet boom companies in the late 1990s. So it's usually determined to be a t-shirt and jeans. I mean, that's basically what it breaks down to. So you are dressed in geek chic if you have a generally nice t-shirt and jeans, because, you know, then you're actually dressing up. Or some people actually include, like, polo shirts. I mean, the uber-casual sense of appearance and everything else like that. And picking this as the word on the street actually kind of fed into today's fashionista-style geek orgy of news. I mean, there's just a crazy amount of fashion and accessory-related poop that was available online today. I don't really know what else to call it. Come on, this is a G-rated show here, I guess. G-PG-13, whatever you want to wiggle into that. But so we do. Hopefully that explains what the term actually means to you. Basically, think of the most casual office that you can. And if everybody's wearing jeans and a t-shirt and sneaks, then it's pretty much geek chic. So, all right. I know that some of these terms, everybody might know them. Some of the people might be looking at me like I have five heads. So please, if there's a term you heard the text at your office bandy about and you weren't quite sure exactly what it was, then please feel free to write in. By the way, I've been asked this a couple times recently, both at my job and at other places. What does podcast mean? Now, here's the lowdown on what podcast means. I believe that podcast has absolutely no relation to the iPod, other than a passing generalization between the two, pod and pod. You know what I mean? But to most people who are out there, podcast means P-O-D-cast, portable on-demand broadcast. That's what a podcast is. That sums up in its entirety what it does, and it has no relation to a music player. Unfortunately, the idea behind calling it a podcast has kind of branded things, strapped to the iPod. Do I need an iPod to listen to your show? Heck no, you don't even need headphones to listen to my show. If you have a computer that has an internet connection, you can check out my show. So it's fun doing little, like, elevator pitches to people, and they're like, oh, so what do, you know, in your spare time? Oh, I run a podcast. And they're like, oh, so, yeah, what exactly is that? What kind of tool bag are you? And so I tell them exactly what kind of tool bag I am. And, so you get kind of funny looks every once in a while. Actually, quite often I get funny looks, but they're probably not all related to that. All right, we do have some fun little information tech tidbits here. We have the geek chic stuff here. How would you like a Wi-Fi detecting shirt? Now, this is one of those things out there which is so crazy that I would absolutely love to buy it. It's a black shirt with a whole bunch of circuitry on the inside, but it's going to be available at thinkgeek.com later on this month, apparently, and... pardon me, but it's going to be available for roughly $30, and you have to take all the electronic crap out to wash it. To give you an idea of what it looks like, it's a plain black t-shirt with a radio tower in the middle that says 802.11, the wireless spectrum, the frequency that wireless internet is broadcast on. And then it has the traditional radio waves going out the side. What this does is it detects the amount of wireless networks in your area, and the strongest signal, it gives you the bars associated with it. So I think this would be a perfect, perfect idea to walk around the office in, because I would be, you know, my own little Wi-Fi detecting hotspot shirt. I mean, it's just kind of cool. I mean, we have, like, spotty Wi-Fi on the two floors where I work, and this would be the perfect way to troubleshoot it. You know, just walk through the hallway, and, I'm sorry, I dropped down to one bar. I don't think I'm going to actually be able to log on right about now. So it's just kind of fun, kind of cool, so I thought I'd pass it along to everybody out there. All right, the next little tidbit that I found out here is, you're better than me, and this thumb drive lets everybody, including me, know it. There's a new, I guess it's a style, fashion accessory. It's from a designer named Gresso. I don't know, I'm just adding the emphasis there. It's Gresso, the Americanized, bastardized kind of little accented little pronunciation of it. But basically what they are is hand-carved USBs that have diamonds and crystals inlaid in them. Now, they are gorgeous. I mean, I'm not even going to lie here. They are very well done. They're very, they look very svelte. They look very chic. They have, depending on the price that you're willing to go, they have 18-karat gold inlays. They go roughly 1 gig, unfortunately. So $100 for their low end, which probably just has the impronounceable kind of a Swarovski crystals. Then they have the $1,000, which has the diamonds in it, of course. You know, they have apples, which I'm assuming is that little Adam and Eve kind of thing. They have just plain blocks, and they have a cross for those of you who are who want to go right off the deep end and you know, into a heretical design there. All right, next thing we have up here is a fun little thing from a company that modifies MacBooks. Some Apple fans have trouble spending their money. We've had a couple students in there who just have to have the latest and greatest MacBook every single time it comes out. You know, AppleBook, PowerBook, whatever you wanted to call it, they always had the newest one. I guess they changed them whenever, like, they changed their hairstyle. So, I mean, you just see some of the crazier stuff out there. It's like, man, I can't believe that some people actually spend that kind of money on things, you know, that repeatedly. Most people will use it to the end of its life cycle, you know what I mean? All right, well, this is crazy. This is a new one that's not from Apple exactly. It's a Apple gadget that literally makes every other Apple device look dull. This Computer Choppers is a company that made a gold-plated MacBook Pro. It has a 18-karat gold plating across the entire thing, and then the Apple logo is replaced with diamond chips. So, yeah, I have no clue why you would do this. I have no clue how much it costs, but they recommend that you actually check out the gold-plated HP LaserJet to go with it. Yeah, so we talked about that a little bit before. The starting price of the auction for the LaserJet was $299. I have no clue what the MacBook itself is going for. All right, next little thing. We have another USB drive. Apparently, USB drives are the new fashion accessory du jour. This one, however, is a little bit more useful. It's a 4-gig stick for $135, and it has what appears to be like driftwood carved. Now, this is something that's like, okay, 4 gigs for $135, that's not a real bad price. And it has it's actually a carved nugget of burled wood, so a kind of an heirloom little thing going on there. It has the love. For those of you who don't know, imagine what burled wood actually looks like. I'm not actually even talking about, you know, anything else here. The knots and the grain of this wood is incredibly fine, incredibly twisty and windy all over the place. So it seems kind of cool, but it's just kind of weird. But at the same point in time, this is so much more classy in my mind, for economically classy, than the $100 for the 1 gig stick. At least you're getting a 4 gig stick out of this. You know what I mean? All right, now the next thing we have up here, again, just ways to drop your cash like it's going out of style. If you ever saw the movie Big, they had the Zoltan machines, where it was like the machine that would give you your fortune and turn the little kid into Tom Hanks. I mean, who really wouldn't want to be Tom Hanks at this point in money in time? You got money to throw at absolutely everything. Well, if you have $75,000, you too can get your very own, well, this is a robotic Swami head. Yes, just the head. I don't know how much money you'd actually have to pay to get the rest of this robotic Swami, but there's all kinds of crazy, crazy stuff that goes into this thing. Apparently, it has a cutting-edge artificial intelligence. This is a cutting-edge artificial intelligence robot with facial recognition, so it recognizes your family members, can carry on conversations and develop relationships, and answer questions with fact-based advice. So it's incredibly creepy. Not only does it look like somebody who's competing in the World Mustache Championships, but at the same point in time, it's actually going to know who you are. So it'd be kind of funny to play around with facial hair. I mean, on yourself, if you're a guy. I mean, facial hair on women, a little weird. But you know, I have a pretty full beard here, so if I were to shave the beard, would it still recognize me, you know? But still, $75,000. Now, I don't know why this made it online. I don't know why it's that interesting to other people, but it does have some things that are actually interesting to me in other senses. I mean, it has 30 robotic micromotors, so apparently it's capable of expressing a crazy amount of range of emotion in its strange old man looking face. But the facial recognition is really cool, the fact that it can carry on conversations, it's all kinds of stuff. But then again, it comes right down to it: if you spend $75,000 on something, it better do something damn awesome. Either that, or it better increase in value, and you're pretty sure that the robotic head in a bubble is probably going to decrease, but at least it does some interesting things, to say the least. So I mean, any of our wealthy people out there, please feel free, $75,000, and you too can get your own robotic Swami. All right, now we moved from somewhat heretical with the USB cross dongle to the incredibly heretical with the blue LED cross 2.0, because apparently there was another one. This has a scrolling LED sign across the middle of it. So if you know anybody out there who's an incredibly staunch Christian, then this might irritate them on a whole new level. And I'm having all kinds of problems with the backtrack here. I usually have all this fun music in the background that plays and keeps going, but apparently some of the tracks that I'm using just kind of stop after about 5 seconds, so... If the show sounds weird, I apologize in advance. But all right, this cross is a little bit less expensive than the other one. Also, this is only for $35. You can get your eternal salvation in blue LED glory here, and it actually has a scrolling message bar across the middle. I don't know if it actually says anything, or you can say. All kinds of, I think you can actually program it, which makes it kind of fun. I could see a whole bunch of insane art installations with very, very nasty messages scrolling across the middle. I mean, because, you know, art can't be, I've heard from people that art can't be nice anymore. Art needs to be offensive. So this is the primary, this would be an easy and very primary tool to offend a whole lot of people very quickly and with shiny blue lights. All right, and wrapping up the fun, if you have money to spend, why don't you? If time is money, then this thing must have cost a fortune. It's the only way I could come up to relate it. But Hulk Smash, apparently somebody took a 13-inch posable Hulk figurine and built a PC around it. Now, this is an open-air PC, so this is, quote-unquote, a caseless mod. Now, the I love the idea behind this. Basically, this is a working computer, a working, massive, crazy cool computer. The Hulk is holding over his head the sign that says Maximum PC and the actual motherboard itself. But, this was actually submitted to the magazine that I actually used to subscribe to. Love their stuff. Great. Just, you know, had to cut down on the reading material around here. The Hulk is standing on top of a what looks like a city skylight or a city building, and has the power supply sitting there. He's pulling he's holding the motherboard over his head, and just great, awesome, crazy. Crazy awesome. I mean, there's no really other way to show this. Imagine you take all the bits and pieces of a computer that make it a computer, you know, the motherboard, the processor, the video card, and everything else that you might need, and you put it into a diorama where the only thing that's recognizable is the motherboard and the power supply. and then you somehow incorporate them into a character-designed little fantasy you got going there, i.e. the Incredible Hulk sitting on top of a building, and you have to make it very artistic. So this is a 14-month-long project that actually came to fruition, actually won a place in the back end of Maximum PC. At the end of every month, Maximum PC does this awesome thing where they show you the craziest cool case mods that they get submitted. So my hat's off to this dude. I don't even know if he's selling it or anything, but I would hope he'd just kind of leave it sitting around. At this point, I can only assume it's probably water-cooled, because I don't really see a whole lot of massive fans sitting on top of it or anything, but I could be wrong. So, alright, moving right along from all that money to a bunch of smart people. Apparently, doctors, after all this time, medical people everywhere, stop the presses. The purpose of the appendix has believed to have been found. Had to stop and very quickly pronounce that correctly, you know what I mean? Alright, but let me get this right here. Scientists and surgeons and immunologists at Duke University Medical School have just recently published a scientific journal, or published an article, rather, in a scientific journal this week that said the purpose of the appendix is to keep and store and give a kind of a sandlot kind of atmosphere to the good bacteria that live in your body. It's a place for them to go and grow and happy and be forth and multiply without interfering with the rest of your system. So it's kind of interesting. It says there's a massive amount of bacteria that's in your body at any given point in time, and it needs to be there to do what it needs to do. I mean, you have the gut bacteria, you have the bacteria that lives in the intestinal tract, you have the bacteria that do pretty much everything but the windows, and even then there might even bacteria that's supposed to live on your eye to clean them, but still. They all need to go someplace. So they're saying that basically the appendix is a breeding ground for the helpful flora that live in you, which is kind of weird because it's kind of weird at the same point in time because since people have been thinking about this for so long, saying, oh, you know, this is a completely vestigial organ, it has no real use, You'd have to think and say, okay, well, if this gets removed, and this is the place where most of the good bacteria in your body go to breed, if it gets removed, does that mean that you have a compromised immune system or something? They really need to do a little bit more work into it. But it's kind of cool at the same point in time to think about it. Yeah, well, we finally solved one of the strangest mysteries in the human biology. So, all right, moving right along, an article linked up from over at Engadget. Craig Ventner, a DNA researcher, this is one of the guys that worked on deciphering the human genome, has actually created a synthetic chromosome. So, quote unquote, they're calling this artificial life. He based the chromosome on the different kinds of bacteria that were out there, and this new quote unquote life form is reliant on the host cell for replication. So it's not a autonomous life form; it's much more of a symbiote at this point. But it's really, really freaky. So. I mean, at one point, it's like awesome because this guy actually made something that did not exist in nature beforehand. I mean, we're not talking like, he developed a new kind of rose here. He developed an organism which needs other organisms to survive. So I think we've pretty much found the krill from Star Trek. At the same point in time, it needs to live off of host cells. And that just kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies way down low. You know what I mean? All right, let's see what else here. We have one more bit of news to offend the faithful. Our Father who art in Halo, Master Chief, be thy name. The religion of Halo is helping churches find young congregants. Apparently, there's a bunch of Protestant churches that are actually providing, like, Halo player groups as a means to get teenagers to come on in. Here's the fun thing that they actually pointed out in the article. Alright, so you have these young moldable minds coming into your church. Okay, rock on, well, you know, good deal, you found a way to get people off the streets and into your congregation, but you're letting these kids play an M-rated game. So the troubled youth are playing, according to Jack Thompson, murder simulators. Now, the entire reason why I originally put this up there was because someone made a stained glass window of Master Chief, which is in and of itself awesome. So my dad does a lot of stained glass. I need to see if maybe he can replicate this on some interesting level, because, I mean, that would just be cool. I mean, that would definitely go up in the Caffeination headquarters around here. I mean, come on. It's Master Chief in stained glass. I mean, it just doesn't get much cooler than that. All right, and the freaking music stopped again. What am I doing wrong? All right. So we're just going to keep going. We might even just drop the music completely. All right, so that's that one. And then the last little thing we have here is the Google Public Transit officially launches. So apparently, if you had checked that out before, Google Public Transit for a while there only had information about Portland, Oregon. So I think they've spread out now. So Google Transit. So google.com/transit. I'm actually going to do a little thing here and see if we can get... Okay, here is where the places where you can actually use the Google Public Transit. The Bay Area, the BART system. The Burbank, California. Humboldt County, California, OC. San Diego, Thousand Oaks, and the Bay Area, VTA. And in Florida, you can do it in Tampa. Hawaii, you can do it in Honolulu. Minnesota is Duluth, Japan, as the entirety of Japan. Las Vegas, Nevada, Reno, Nevada, Eugene, and Portland, Oregon, just Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, damn you, Philadelphia, SEPTA, all right, Texas, you can do Austin and or Dallas, Virginia, you can do Hampton Roads, and Washington, you can do Seattle, so no D.C., because that would make sense, no New York, because that would make sense, but hey, it's beyond Portland at this point in time. We can only put pressure on our local public transit corporations to work with them. So it helps you plan trips on other people's public transit systems. I really like the idea that Japan, all regional and national rail networks, domestic airlines, and ferries are included. I mean, that's just crazy. Absolutely everything. Other people are like, okay, the rail or this. For instance, I think Las Vegas is only the monorail. You can't actually check out the bus schedules or anything like that, but... All right, come on, people, get up on the map, you know? All right, there's a fun little article linked over at... there's a fun little article linked up over at ecogeek.org if you want to check out that, or you can just go to google.com/transit to check that out in its entirety. All right, that about wraps up the tech tidbit section here, moving right along to the caffeinated bits. I was wondering if anybody out there would be interested for me to revisit the coffee infusion of vodka. Now, I've had other people actually email me in and say, and they've had questions, like, for instance, one of the questions that I get a lot of the time is why I use cracked coffee beans as opposed to whole, or cracked as opposed to ground. And the entire reason, for those of you who are not in the know, I have a coffee infusion recipe, or a coffee infused vodka recipe that I have on the website. You can check the recipe section up at the top, or it's also listed over at ineedcoffee.com. I did an article on it over there, and it's critically acclaimed. A lot of people love this article. People who don't do anything else on my site but read how to make their vodka coffee flavored. So more power to them. It's incredibly and blindingly simple. Basically, you throw coffee beans into a bottle of vodka, and you prepare the coffee beans in a certain way. You just add just a little bit of sugar as a catalyst. You wait probably about 2 weeks, you pop it out, you filter the stuff out, and then you put it back in the bottle, and there you go. Now, I suggested using cracked coffee beans, which is basically you put the coffee beans between two spoons, and you crack them into large pieces so that they're not whole coffee beans, but they're not like fine grounds. The reason I did this, a lot of people ask me repeatedly, and at length, is because when you grind coffee, you get that tiny, like, dust particulate matter, and it's much harder to filter out of the vodka, and I wanted nice, clear spirits, you know what I mean? So I also didn't want to do it with whole beans, because, I mean, they'll take much longer, and, you know, by cracking them, I actually expose more surface area to the vodka itself to hopefully, you know, get everything up and running. Oh, yeah, by the way, every couple days, just shake the bottle really vigorously to mix everything all up in there. You might actually have to let a little air out the top, but I don't think that's actually a problem. But still, head on over to caffeination.com/recipes, I believe. /recipes, and that'll send you over to that fun little section. All right, now the next and last item we have here today at the Caffeination is... How would you like to roast your own coffee in a popcorn popper? Now, I've heard tell of this, and I haven't been able to really find a good example about how to do this and do it without basically burning the hell out of the beans. So over at coffeegeek.com, there is a wonderful guide to how to do this by popper roasting. And they talk about what kind of popcorn popper, you know, the hot air style now here, what kind you should use, the proper steps you need to take, what you need to watch out for, and how you need to modify the popcorn popper to allow you to do this correctly. So I'm not going to spend time rolling over the entire thing here, but there's a whole bunch of stuff that I really didn't think about. For instance, there's a way to modify your popcorn popper to include a thermometer so that you can do this correctly. And that's just something I hadn't thought about for a while there, and I'm really going to have to actually take a deeper look at this whole thing and say, all right, so how much is a popcorn popper? Should I or could I try and roast my own beans here at the Caffeination? I think the answer for should I is a definite and resounding yes, but the answer is for could I relies much more on the funding and the whole will the wife yell at me if I try and bring another strange piece of coffee making equipment into the house. For those of you who are not in the know, I drink coffee religiously. She does not. She can't stand the taste of it. She however doesn't mind the smell, which is why we were able to get married, you know. All right. That about wraps it up here for today's Caffeination podcast, which I should have said a couple more times throughout the show. Maybe I'll go back and intersperse it just randomly, but probably not. All right, you have been listening to Caffeination number 170 here. Let me get the fun little thing going here. All right, stop and start. I'm incredibly upset with the way that the music has gone on today's show, so... a thousand pardons. Hopefully we'll get this right in the rewind, you know what I mean? Up on Caffeination 171, but still. All right, here, this has been Caffeination number 170, the chic edition, the geek chic as it was, recorded live to hard drive on October 7th, 2007. If you'd like to get in contact with me, have comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, you can do that via email at caffeination@gmail.com. You can do it via phone at 215-240-1319. You can email... already did the email, idiot. Alright, we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You can find all the other member shows at techpodcasts.com. They've all agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content. We're also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network. That's B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. It's a social podcasting network site, kind of like MySpace for podcasts. And speaking of MySpace, you can head on over to myspace.com/caffeination to enjoy the caffeinated glory over at MySpace and be our friend and all that other happy horse poo. But all right, this has been a Puzzle Piece production as well. So if you'd like to check out and see what that is, you can head on over to puzzlepiecepro.com and see a little bit more on that one. All right, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If it was not for you, the listeners, we really wouldn't still be doing it. Thank you very much for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.